9 to 13.
I'm going to share what I learned from the calling of Matthew, which is the second part of Matthew 9. So let's pray, or let me pray. Dear Lord, thank you for giving me an opportunity to look into your word deeper and be able to share what I've learned. Help me to be able to speak your words today to everyone and be able to deliver what you want all of us to hear. And I pray in Jesus' name.
Amen.
So the key verse that I've chosen for this testimony is Matthew 9:12, which says, everyone can read it together, verse 12.
Yep, let's go. Amen. As Jesus said, it is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick.
So, who has visited a doctor recently? Anyone?
Okay.
A lot of people, actually. Okay. Who visited a doctor because they felt really, really, really healthy? Anyone? Anyone? I think in all of my high school and college years, I never went to the doctor once. Why? Because, you know, I was a bustling teenager and I felt like top of my game. Sarah Bond has had a cough for a couple weeks now, and all of us in our ministry keep telling her, Sarah, go to the doctor, go check that out. And why do we say that? Because we feel like there's something wrong, right? It's easy to know when we need a doctor for a physical ailment, like bad cough, or aching tooth, or broken bone. But we tend to ignore our spiritual sicknesses, like damaging addictions, hopeless despairing mentalities, and hateful thoughts. Jesus is first and foremost a spiritual doctor who comes to offer forgiveness of sins. Let us come to learn from him and trust him to heal our spiritual sicknesses. In the previous passage, as we learned from Isaac, nobody praised God when Jesus said, your sins are forgiven. Instead, they criticized Jesus and started a theological debate. However, when the paralyzed man began to walk, it was clear who had the authority. The crowd valued healing over forgiveness because forgiveness was not something that they could see. In fact, there was no majestic celebration of God's greatness when Matthew was inwardly changed. Very likely, Matthew was a tax collector in the same town and heard the loud worship and praise of God over this paralyzed man's healing. In fact, it was probably the only interesting news that they heard in a while, so it spread all over town. However, it didn't make Matthew, you know, throw up his arms and immediately praise God. Instead, the whole event kind of intrigued him and really made him think. All the Gospels that tell the story of Matthew's change put it very, very simply. Jesus called him to follow, and he followed. However, the one thing that we know about Matthew indicates that he was not as simplistic as the story suggests. It was clear that he never had a spiritual desire to learn from a religious leader before. He was, after all, not John the Baptist's disciple. He clearly didn't care about what other people thought of him because, you know, he was a tax collector. He lived his life to benefit himself only at the expense of his townspeople. So what was special about this teacher and this moment? In all three Gospels that this story is recounted, the healing of the paralytic precedes the call of Matthew, always. The paralytic man's story is interesting because Jesus attempts to forgive sins as a primary issue, contrary to the expectations of the crowd and the healed man himself. Jesus makes it very clear that the paralytic's true problem was that of sin rather than his physical condition. What sins could a paralytic man possibly have committed? He could not walk, but he was probably an inward sinner, which Isaac discussed in depth. On the other hand, Matthew was clearly an outward sinner. In fact, from how he celebrates with his sinner friends, it was clear that he was unashamed of his status in the society. However, also from this passage, we see that he also has a conscience and a desire to find a truth to follow. Maybe he gave up on himself a long time ago and decided, you know, as long as you're going to hell anyway, might as well enjoy the ride. But when he heard Jesus say, "Your sins are forgiven," to the paralytic man, he realized that Jesus had the ability to see deeper. Jesus looked past the crippled legs of the paralytic man and saw that he needed forgiveness and freedom from sin. This shed light into the true purpose of Jesus' coming and gave Matthew hope for himself. Matthew did not need Jesus to heal any illnesses that we know of, or make him rich, or even overthrow the Roman government. In fact, he had no desire to see God's kingdom established on earth, as many of Jesus' disciples hope. Outwardly, he was fine with the status quo. But Matthew needed Jesus for the forgiveness of his sin. He could recognize that he was spiritually sick and needed something more. The Pharisees, however, could not identify with the sinners and tax collectors gathered at Matthew's party, because they felt like they were blameless before God. They rejected Jesus and his forgiveness of sins because they had no burning desire or a need for a spiritual savior. Jesus says in verses 12 and 15, "It is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. But go and learn what this means. I desire mercy, not sacrifice. For I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners." The Pharisees were so strict about their laws and customs, especially about sacrifices. From Israelite history, sacrifices were actually demanded from God as a temporary covering of their sins, starting with the Passover lamb. God was righteous and just. The blood and death was a consequence of our sins. It was only until Jesus paid the penalty for our sins on the cross that we were free from sacrifices. But the quote, "I desire mercy, not sacrifice," was actually from the prophet Hosea, way long before Jesus and his sacrifice on the cross. So what does this mean? Didn't God create the rule of sacrifices? In fact, the sacrifices were a result of God's mercy on his people. Instead of immediately dying from their sins, they were able to sacrifice an animal in their place for a temporary time. However, by Jesus' time, this idea had twisted into something that, you know, the religious leaders used for their control over the people. They lost sight of the true meaning and God's mercy and focused on just the act of sacrifice. They again gravitated to the physical action over the spiritual meaning. Only when a person can recognize himself to be a sinner and spiritually lacking something in his life can he start to have hope like Matthew. The healing of the paralyzed man was like a spark that started a fire in him that led him to make a tremendous decision to follow Jesus. For those of us who went through a similar journey as Matthew and decided to follow Jesus, let us then learn from the Pharisees. When we lose sight of mercy that God has shown us in the beginning by saving us from our sins, we become like the Pharisees in doing our religious duties. Just because we are forgiven doesn't mean we are not a sinner. Let us come to Jesus each day as a convicted sinner who needs Jesus.
Amen.
Most of my life, I felt like I didn't need Jesus because he had nothing to offer me that I wanted. After all, I have a good education, good job, family, friends, significant other. Outwardly, I could be very content with my life. Can Jesus give me money? Can he give me friends? Can he make me taller? It was easy to make Jesus optional when he was only offering forgiveness of sins, when I felt like I didn't need it. In high school, for the first time, I recognized myself as a sinner who looked to replace God with myself. I was inwardly a proud person who looked down upon everyone. My only goal in life was to use everyone around me for my own pleasure and benefit. Jesus humbled me when I realized that I was not perfect at all, and opened my eyes to his mercy and forgiveness and challenged me not to judge others. Recently, God revealed a lingering hatred in my heart towards my parents for my past. Only when I was able to admit my problem and the fact that I could not overcome it on my own was I able to forgive only by faith and start his healing process in my heart.
Amen.
My dad once said, when you are not struggling, there's something wrong with your spiritual life. Mm-hmm. How true this is! We, by the same definition, sinful at birth, should always be struggling with something if we want to live as a follower of Jesus. Do you think that your spiritual life is boring? When someone asks, how can I pray for you? You say, you know, some physical problems like, oh, my job or my work or school work sucks or I have this illness. But let us really examine our hearts this weekend and be able to call ourselves spiritually sick who need Dr. Jesus.
Amen.
Okay, let's read verse 12 all together. And really think of ourselves as the sick. Okay, let's go.
On hearing this, Jesus said, it is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. So lovely.
Can we have a few minutes for 25 minutes?
Thank you very much. Hello, how are you?
Hello.
Thank you. Today's messengers, Isaac and Esther, they really poured out their heart, I believe. They really gave their time and effort and delivered the Word of God. Amen?
Amen.
Thank you for Sarah Jesmer's testimony. The work of God really blossomed in her life. Independently. So, we learned about Isaac. He taught us about sin, right? Makes us paralyzed. Pray. The devil. But Jesus has authority to restore us. And Esther mentioned about Jesus, the spiritual doctor, who heals us, right? Sin is our primary issue. And Matthew could gain hope in Jesus. So we could gain hope in Jesus. And we can forgive others only by faith that. And we must always be struggling with something. So, I really thank God for the music, prayer, and all your participation. So, we've come to the end of our program. The only thing left on the program is snack for tonight. So we'll be in that in a few minutes. But I want to take the time to talk a little bit about tomorrow. So we're going to pray tonight and then tomorrow as well. So here's the schedule and the prayer topics. We're going to have group Bible study here at 10:30 in the morning tomorrow. So please be on time because it cascades the whole program if we're a little late. So do your best. And usually it's not the people, I know you're looking at the people from far away, thinking, but it's not the far away people that are always late. It's always the guy or the girl who lives down the street. I'm looking at you, who lives close by. You live in the county. It's always that way. So please, it's important to keep the times and keep the schedule. And please pray for tomorrow's program. Presider, Matt Cizek. He'll be sharing his life testimony. Please pray for him. And then also Sarah Bottom will be the first part messenger. And from Luke's Gospel, chapter 15, verse 1 through 10. And chapter 15, 1 through 10. And then please pray for me, the second messenger, from the second part of Luke 15. And then in the afternoon, we're going to have lunch here. And in the afternoon, we're going to have a movie watching time here in the house. It's going to be a real excellent environment. If you notice, we have the speakers in the ceiling, so it's kind of surround sound. Mm-hmm. And we have the big white wall, acts as like a movie theater screen.
Oh.
So it'll be like a movie. I did it one time. I watched Wall-E down here. It was really cool. So it's done. We might do it upstairs, depending on how many people we have. But either way, we have big white walls and really nice sound. And then we'll watch the movie Johnny. Very encouraging, inspiring movie. And after that, we have some recreation time slotted from 4 o'clock to 5:30. And there's different options for recreation at that time. If you'll see upstairs on the wall, there's some posters of some very close places, and then you can almost walk there. There's a mini golf course. There's a small water park, kind of pool water park close. There's some golf, like disc golf, you know, the frisbee and golf together kind of course. It used to be actually a large seminary that they tore down and they built a bunch of like amusement parks on a long time ago. Or we even have a ping pong table here, so if you're interested in challenging, we have some experts you can play. Or you can find some other recreation too if you're interested. And then we'll have dinner, and then there's an evening program. Also we encourage you too, if you want to bring your friends, there's more, we have plenty of extra chairs, plenty of space, so if you want to bring your friends or other family tomorrow, please feel free. And so let's pray for these prayer topics. Pray for the group Bible study, the presider, the two speakers, and then the afternoon program, movie and recreation, and pray that our friends may come, even if maybe your friends can't come. Pray for other people, that God may move the hearts of other people. And based on that, that's our prayer topics, and that's what we learned tonight. So, at this time, we're going to pray. Pray is almost as important as the main message we heard today. So, don't cut through I'm not going to check you, but don't cut through the prayer just to get to the snack, the cookies. Although one time that didn't happen on a Mother's Day, they had just cake for lunch instead of sandwiches, and then the pastor David said, "Oh, women and children first." And by the time the women and children went, there was no cake left. One time I remember that happened. This won't happen this time. Just take time to turn to your neighbor and let's pray. Pray based on also the messages we heard today. You know, how may sin be paralyzing you? I mean, you don't have to go into details with your partner, but how can the spiritual doctor, Jesus, heal you? Restore you, right? Not just heal you, but restore, make you better. And please pray for our program tomorrow. And let's take the time to pray. Prayer is really important. So based on that, let's pray with our neighbor.